As soon as possible, I sent Drover on a mission to patrol the eastern quadrant of ranch headquarters. He didn't want to go and came up with the usual excuses. His leg hurt, his sinuses were bothering him, and there was no particular reason for going on patrol in the light of day. On the last score, he happened to be right. What he didn't know was that I wanted to get rid of him for a while because, shall we say, I had some other business to attend to. When he was out of sight, I turned to the west and went streaking away from headquarters and out into the horse pasture. By that time, I had begun conducting a serious debate within the inner sanctum of my mind. Did I want to release the monkey, or did I not? Or to phrase it another way, was there actually a monkey in the box, or was there not? For you see, if there was no monkey in the box, the question of whether or not to release him became moot. Mutt. Mood. Moot, I suppose it is. The question became moot. Therefore, the logical sequence of events would be for me to determine. I think you get the drift. I reached Point X very shortly after leaving hindquarters, headquarters that is, and found the box exactly where we had left it. In other words, it hadn't moved. I approached it with caution, sniffed it out, barked at it, and circled it three times, with each circle bringing me closer to it. At last, satisfied that it wasn't going to move or spring at me or do anything of a suspicious nature, I spoke to it. The voice you're hearing belongs to Hank the Cow Dog, head of ranch security. You are trespassing on my ranch, which means that you have gotten yourself into serious trouble. If you are in there and can hear my voice, I demand that you come out immediately and identify yourself. If you're not in there, you may disregard this message. I lifted my ears to the full alert position and waited. At first, I heard nothing. Then, a scratching sound? Yes, a certain scratching sound, as though someone or something were scratching on the inside of the alleged box. Did it scare me? Well, a little bit. Might as well admit it. Okay, yes, maybe it scared me a little bit, but after running backwards for 20 or 30 yards, I regained my poise and approached it again. I'll repeat the message one more time. We have your box surrounded. There's no chance of escape or any other kinds of mischief. You will come out of the box and identify yourself at once. More scratching from inside the box. And, oh yes, the hasp. Let me pause here to point out that your heavy boxes, such as the type used to transport circus animals, often have a device on the lid called a hasp. Hasp is a technical term. You've probably not run into it before, but we use it all the time in the security business. A hasp secures the lid to the box, see? And until I remove the wooden peg from the eye of the hasp, the lid would not open. Okay. We had gotten down to the meat of the heart, the core of the meat, the heart of the core, the central issue of the whole deal. Did I want to open the door and release the monkey, or whatever it was, onto my ranch? If you fooled around with geometry, you know that there are three sides on a pyramid, three legs on a triangle, four legs on a donkey, and two sides to every question. Before moving any closer to the box, I pondered both sides of this particular question. On the one side, we had yes. Immediately across from it, on the other side, we had no. Yes and no are not only spelled differently, but they don't mean the same thing. In fact, they are diabolically opposed. Thrown together in a small space, they will fight until only one emerges the winner. Hence, by simple logic, it followed that I could not possibly decide both yes and no on the same question. It had to be one or the other. For several minutes, the argument raged back and forth in my mind. Yes, no, yes, no, yes, yes, no, no. As you can see, the argument began to tilt in favor of yes. Yes, being a three-letter word, carried exactly one-third more weight than no, which was a two-letter word. The longer the argument raged, the more weight accumulated on the yes side, until at last the scales of justice could no longer resist the weight of reason, and the balance tipped in favor of yes. Oh, And there was one other small factor, the lettering on the side. It said, "Do not open this box." I have never taken orders from a box, and I never will. No box tells Hank the cowdog what he can do on his own ranch. I marched forward, hopped my front legs up on top of the device, and proceeded to remove the wooden peg from the hasp. At that moment, I was greeted, if that's the proper word, by the thunder of hooves. It caught me completely by surprise. I mean, it sounded like a whole herd of horses was coming out of that box. I was in the horse pasture, so to speak, so it was natural that what I'm driving at here is that the horses had seen me out there in their pasture and had come thundering over to check things out. They are curious brutes, you see, and very snotty and possessive about their pasture. They have never recognized my jurisdiction in their territory, and they seldom pass up a chance to torment me when I enter it. I may have mentioned this before, but I don't like horses at all. And I have every reason to suppose that they don't like dogs either. Well, here they came, snorting and bucking and laughing and grinning with all those big, ugly, awkward, green-stained teeth of theirs. I drawn the whole crowd. Popeye, Casey, Chief, Cookie, Happy, Deuce, Frisco, Calypso, Bonnie Bonita, Lightning, every stinking horse on the ranch. And before I could run, they had me surrounded. The first to speak was Casey, the smartest aleck of all the smart alecks.
"Say, puppy dog, you in the wrong place, and you fixin' to wish you was in the right place."
They all got a big laugh out of that.
"We got a law against dogs in the horse pasture, and son, you have broke the law."
To which I made a brilliant and stinging reply. "Oh, yeah?
You know what we do when we catch puppy dogs on our side of the fence? We tough, son. We tear up a dog like a Dixie cup."
I tried a different approach. "Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. And we love it, too. And now..."
At that very precise moment, the lid on the box flew open, and a hairy little man in a red fez and a red jacket popped out, screamed, and waved his arms at the horses and jumped on my back. Two things happened real quick. First, 14 head of saddle horses dropped their heads, lifted their ears, widened their eyes, snorted, and headed for the south end of the pasture in a dead run. Second, I did exactly the same thing, heading in the opposite direction. I figured that anybody who was dangerous enough to scare 14 head of horses didn't belong on my back, or anywhere close. I ran, I bucked, I twisted, I barked. I did everything I could think of to get him off me. But he must have been a professional bronc rider because I couldn't shake him loose. Not only did he have a good grip with his legs, but he was also using my ears for bridle reins. I bucked until I couldn't buck anymore, ran until I couldn't run another step, barked until I was completely out of breath. And at that point, fellers, I knew I'd been beat and that I belonged to that bronc-riding son of a gun in the red hat. I stopped to catch my breath. "Okay, you win. I surrender. I don't know who you are, pal, but you've sure taken the fire out of this old dog." He climbed off my back and said something in a strange, squeaky voice. I noticed that he had a tail, a wide mouth, kind of a monkey-looking face, fingers and thumbs on his feet, and, come to think of it, if you'd taken away his coat and hat, he would have looked a lot like a, You probably thought he was a hairy little man in a red jacket and fez who bore a passing resemblance to a monkey. I might have made that mistake, too, had I not been armed with the stern discipline of a trained observer. He was a monkey, see? Not a man at all. I had suspected. There for a second, he did look a little bit. At last, I had cleared up the mystery. As I had surmised, the box had contained a circumuncus. A circus monkey, that is. And the next step was to open the lines of communication with the little brute and to establish whether I was working for him or if he was working for me? That was kind of an important question, see?